Praise the Lord tonight. I'm thankful. It's hard to believe this is the fourth night of meeting. And I'm thankful for the Lord tonight. Amen. And if there's anybody that deserves all glory, it's the Lord Jesus Christ. And I'm thankful for this open door of opportunity. I want to take time before we get into the message tonight to thank Pastor Daniel and Sister Sherry. And they have been a blessing to me and my family down through the years. I love them and their family as well. Brian and Danielle and Kyle and just all their family. It's just a blessing to me. And then here at Valley View Baptist Church, this church is a blessing to my heart. I always enjoy. I was thankful when Brother Daniel and I were talking, and he said that the Lord had brought to his heart that we'd come up, and I always enjoy. I look back over this crowd, and I go from church to church, and it's good to see faces that are rooted and grounded. You see them in the church, and not only Valley View, but Cedar Bluff. We appreciate Brother Brian, and we're thankful for all that you've done for us this week. The hotel room, nice hotel room, and the dessert, and the fried bologna, and the potatoes, and all that. And I appreciate the meals and the chicken, and the meal tonight, fish, that was good, and hush puppy. So they gave me two bottles of water tonight, so I might need them. And but anyway, from the bottom of my heart, I want to say thank you. And but we're here one more night, and we've got the Word of God. God shifted this meeting, I believe, last night in my own heart. We've been preaching through Nehemiah, and then God, He met with us last night, and He shifted the meeting, I feel like, in my own heart in the direction. And I tried to go back to Nehemiah, and God said, no, you're not going back to Nehemiah. So God led me over to Acts chapter number 4 tonight. Acts chapter number 4, you'll find your place there. Acts chapter number 4. And when you find your place, if you'll show me that by standing in respect and honor to God's word tonight, Acts chapter number 4. Our text verse is found there in verse number 12. And God burdened my heart for this verse. Notice what your Bible says, Acts 4 and 12. Peter said, neither is there salvation in any other, for there is none other name under heaven given among men whereby we must be saved. Notice there in the middle part of the verse where Peter says, for there is none other name. That's with the Lord's help. I want to preach on no other name tonight. Let's pray. Father, we thank you, Father, for your help all week long. I just want to stop for just a second and thank you once again for Jesus, for you, Father, and the Holy Spirit. I realize tonight my inability. I'm very aware of that tonight. But I'm also aware of your ability. Amen. And God, it's your word and your power and your anointing and your fresh soul. I'd be the first to say tonight, as John said, John the Baptist in John 3 and 30, he must increase, but I must decrease tonight. God, I pray that you'll forgive us where we failed thee, and I pray that you'll let Jesus be high and lifted up tonight. And this is what I know. I know that you have all power. We've got the authority of heaven behind us tonight, and you know every heart. every soul that's in this place. And on this last night of revival, I pray you'll melt the environment with Calvary's love. God, not our will, but God, your will from heaven to earth. That's my asking tonight. And we'll be careful to give you all glory for all you're going to do. It's in Jesus' name we do ask and pray. And all God's people said one more time.
Amen.
Amen. Thank you. You may be seated. Acts chapter number 4 places us in a courtroom setting. Peter and John have just been arrested for preaching Christ after the healing of a lame man at the temple gate. These religious leaders, those who prided themselves in knowing God, they now stand in opposition to the very one that God sent. They ask this simple question in verse number 7. By what power or by what name have you done this? Notice verse number 8. I love this. Then Peter, filled with the Holy Ghost. Boy, we need that, don't we? Peter was controlled by the Holy Spirit. And Peter does not hesitate. He points them directly to Jesus Christ. Notice verse number 10. The one they crucified, the one God raised from the dead. And then he delivers one of the most powerful, most clear and uncompromising statements in all of Scripture. Verse number 12, our text verse, he says, neither is there salvation in any other. I find tonight that this is not a suggestion. It is not an opinion, but it is a divine declaration. I mean, you'll agree with me tonight, we're living in a confused world. We're living in a confused society with religion and competing voices. But I believe tonight, as I read Acts 4 and 12, that this verse settles it once and for all. Because the Bible says there is no other name. Write this down, number one. The rejection of all other ways. Peter said, neither is there salvation in any other. And Peter begins with a negative statement, because sometimes truth must first tear down error before it builds clarity. Sometimes there must be a negative so that we can see what is positive. Amen. And he says plainly, he says, salvation is not found anywhere else. It's not in religion. I'm going to say it over and over and over. It's not in rituals. It's not in works. It's not in heritage. It's not in morality. When you talk to individuals, whether it be here in Buchanan, Virginia, or whether it be down in Washington County, Virginia, Abingdon, Virginia, Bristol, Virginia, I talk to people all the time. And one of the most important questions any individual will ever answer is what they do with the Lord Jesus Christ. And when you talk to these individuals, I was talking to the pastor before the service, when you talk to individuals, the first thing many people want to do, they want to bring up their works. You say, are you ready to meet the Lord Jesus Christ? Are you saved? And people have become so familiar with that terminology, Are you saved? That question. Oh, yeah, I've been baptized. Oh, yes, I go down to this church, or I used to go to that church, or I've had various answers. Matter of fact, I had a funeral in Damascus, Virginia. And at that funeral, the mother of this son that we buried, she naturally was upset. But I went over to talk to her, and she was very upset, and she said, I watched when my son was baptized, I watched his sins flow down the river. The sad thing about that is tonight that there are many people who believe that it's God's grace plus rituals. God's grace plus works. God's grace plus heritage. God's grace plus morality. If you study the book of Galatians tonight, you'll remember Paul writing to the churches of Galatia. And Paul would go in and he's writing to these believers, and these believers had accepted Jesus Christ by grace through faith. But these false teachers, these Judaizers, were coming in behind Paul. And they were saying, Paul, he told you part of the story. It's grace, but you also must keep part of the Mosaic law. You must keep circumcision. J. Vernon McGee said that he believed Paul was a little hot under the collar. Because he says, basically that word in Galatians, that he is astonished, basically what he was saying, that they were so soon removed from the gospel of grace. And here's the statement Paul made, and he included himself. He said, if any other man, that included Paul, or an angel come from heaven, preach any other gospel. And he made a statement. He said, which is not another. He said, let him be accursed. Now that's a strong word. If you look that word up, accursed, it means let him be damned. Any other gospel. What is the gospel that Paul preached? He preached, thank God, the gospel of the grace of God, you see. And there's a lot of people, these religious leaders that Peter is standing before, these Sanhedrin, they had all those things. They had the law. They had tradition. They had position. They had the outward righteousness. And listen to this. And yet, they were lost. Why? Because they rejected the Lord Jesus Christ. The truth still is today in our world, and people say all kinds of things, and I love some of the religious liberties that we've received. Whether you like this president or whether you don't, I'm thankful that there was a cloud lifted off the church that we at least have a little bit of room to breathe, thank God. But I'm going to say it like this. There are a lot of people even within Hollywood, and I love hearing the name of Jesus. You can say Jesus all you want to. I'm not so sure everybody that is saying the name of Jesus knows Jesus personally as their Savior. This is important tonight because people say all roads lead to God. They say just be sincere. They'll make statements like, live a good life. But the Bible says this, neither is there salvation in any other. That means good works cannot save you. Church membership cannot save you. Baptism cannot save you. Giving cannot save you. Some of you said, praise God. See, Pastor, that's not going to save me. Oh, no. It's not going to save you. But all these things that I'm mentioning are good after you accept the Lord Jesus Christ as your personal Savior. Neither is there salvation in any other. Because if salvation could be found any other way, Jesus would not have had to die. You think about that. I got thinking about, if you just imagine with me, a man drowning in the ocean and this rescuer throwing him a life preserver and says, take hold. But the man says, no, I'll try something else. When it comes to this, what we call salvation, there is nothing else. There is no other name given among men under heaven whereby the Bible said we must be saved. Amen. So if you're trusting in any other than Christ, you're trusting in something that cannot save tonight. Not only the rejection of all other ways, but secondly, the revelation of the only name. Notice there, for there is none other name under heaven given among men. So Peter moves from rejection to revelation. So if there's no other way, then what is that way tonight? There's one name. And I want you to say it with me. You ready? Jesus. I believe business is going to pick up here in a minute. You ready? I want to say one, two, three, and I say Jesus three times. You ready? One, two, three. Jesus, Jesus, Jesus. There's just something about that name. I'll never forget when I was young. Boy, I feel the Lord all over that. Boy, I love saying the name of Jesus. I remember when I was younger, we'd be watching television and somebody on television would say God, and my daddy told me a long time ago, he said, Dwayne, just because that they say God does not mean that they're talking about the God of heaven. Amen. And I've learned that. Even in our society in America, we are a religious. There is a lot of religion. You let tragedy happen on our soul. And the first thing, all these people are coming out of the woodwork. Let us pray. And I believe in praying. But how many of you know tonight, there's only one way to pray to the God of heaven. You must have the blood applied to your soul. Hallelujah. A lot of times people say you can pray, but not in Jesus' name. You're not praying if you're not praying in Jesus' name. Thank God we've got that blood-bought privilege of prayer tonight. And thank God because the blood's been applied to my soul, I have access into the throne room of God tonight. It's all about Jesus tonight. If a devil's been aggravating you today, just say Jesus, Jesus, Jesus. Hey, just something about that name. The meaning of the name Jesus, it means Jehovah, salvation. His very name declares His mission. My friend, He is not just a teacher. He is the Savior tonight. He's not just a prophet. He is Redeemer. He's not just a good man. He is the Son of God. Amen. Who is Jesus to you tonight? I want to ask that question. Who is Jesus to you? I had the privilege in 2019 to travel over to the Holy Lands. And I loved that trip. And in our journeys, we traveled up to the head of the Jordan River. Brother Brian, the head of Jordan River is Caesarea Philippi. And that is the location where they used to have the Temple of Pan there, where they would sacrifice babies. They'd throw them. I've seen that cave. They called it the front porch of hell. They would take those babies in the name of those dead gods and throw them in those caves and that water, things like that. I mean, a region filled with pagan superstition. It's no accident that Jesus Christ himself stood right there on the front porch of hell. And he asked this question. He said, "Whom do men say that I, the Son of Man, am?" That'd be like if I took a poll within this congregation tonight and say, "Whom do men say that Jesus is?" And the disciples made this statement. Some say Jeremiah, Elias, or one of the prophets. But how many of you know tonight that salvation, it does not matter. It's not corporate. Salvation is not corporate. Salvation is individual. And Jesus zeroed in and he said, "But whom do ye say that I, the Son of Man, am?" And Peter, with all his faults, he stood up and he said, "I've got the right answer." He said, "Thou art the Christ, the Son of the living God." Amen. Praise God. Right there in the midst of that pagan superstition, he said, "Thou art the Christ, the Son of the living God." Who is Jesus to you? My friend, I used to work with an agnostic. He said, "I'm not saying that there's not a God," but he said, "I'm not saying that there is. I've talked to atheists," things like that. But let me say it like this. Even secular history tells us that Jesus was here. There's not one individual that cannot say that Jesus Christ did not walk the earth. Now, who is he to you tonight? Is he just some prophet? Is he just some good man? My friend, I'm going to tell you, he's much more than that tonight. I'm glad that he is the Son of God. And then it goes on to say, under heaven. And that means across every nation and across every culture and across every generation, there is no exception. Now, I don't want you to get too excited tonight about Jesus, and I don't want you to get too excited about your eternal soul being in heaven forever. Hallelujah. But I'm going somewhere. So you just buckle up, praise God, and pray for me. That state, you think about those two words, under heaven. That means you can search every continent, you can study every religion, examine every philosophy, and you'll never find another name that can save. Not religion, not works, not self-righteousness like we see here in America, not Muhammad like in the Middle East, not Buddha like in Asia, not the many gods within Hinduism, not Joseph Smith, not Confucius. There is one name, and that name is the Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. He said it like this. He said, "I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man cometh unto the Father but by me." Amen. You get bragging on Jesus, business will pick up. Amen. Some friends of mine, they sing, "I walked by the tomb of Buddha and looked inside and saw his bones. Walked on down to see Muhammad, still wrapped up in his grave clothes. Then I journeyed to a garden where old Joseph left him there." But you know what? If you knew him like I knew him, you would know that he's alive. I'm going to tell you something. I think about what we just celebrated when them ladies thought. I mean, they were going on that Lord's Day, first day of the week, and making their way to the tomb, and they expected the Lord Jesus Christ to be there. But aren't you glad on that third and appointed day that angel was there and he said, "Fear not, I know whom you seek. You seek Jesus who was crucified. But this is your and my hope tonight. He is not here, for he is risen just as he said." Amen. Thank God tonight. Amen. Because he's alive, I'm alive tonight because I've accepted him. Amen. I'm thankful for that. Amen. Doesn't matter if you're in America or Africa or Asia or anywhere else. There's only one name that saves. I want to tell you this message I'm preaching tonight. I tell you it's the same message over in Africa, India, Asia. It doesn't matter where you're at in Israel or Iran. It doesn't matter. It's the same message. There is no other name given under heaven whereby we must be saved. Jesus Christ. Amen. Praise the Lord. We were over in Israel, and we were at another Caesarea, but it was Caesarea Maritime. And it's right on the Mediterranean Sea, and it's at the place where the Apostle Paul stood before Felix and King Agrippa, and I stood right there where Paul stood, and where King Agrippa said, "Almost persuadest thou me to be a Christian." And I thought about in that place of Caesarea Maritime, and while we were there, I remember Brother C.T. Townsend, he was up there getting ready to say something, and by this time, this group of believers started coming, and they started singing. By the time he started speaking, and of course, Brother C.T., he turned around and he looked for a second, and it didn't take us too long. It was a group of believers, some brothers and sisters in Christ from China, and they were singing in their language. Amazing grace, how sweet the sound that saved a wretch like me. I once was lost, but now I'm found. Was blind, but now I see. You say, do you speak Chinese? No, I speak mud holler. Amen. But praise God, the Holy Spirit of God that lives on the inside of me, praise God, bear witness to that was my brothers and sisters in Christ. And the next thing you know, we was a crying and praising God because you know what? I knew what they were saying.
Yeah, that's right.
And thank God I knew the same God that they knew. I knew the same Savior. Why? Because the Spirit bear witness with me.
Amen.
Say that again with me. You ready? Jesus. Jesus, Jesus. There's just something about that name. Praise God. Given among men. And that's powerful. Salvation's not something man discovered. It's something that God gave. John 3:16. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son. Whosoever. Aren't you glad that it's a whosoever will salvation? You say, preacher, who is going to heaven? Whosoever will. Who's going to hell? Whosoever won't. Amen. That's a good way to know it. Amen. Praise God. It's whosoever will. Romans 5:8. But God commendeth his love towards us, and that while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. That's some of the greatest news that I've ever had. I mean, I wouldn't get up here and preach hell hot without giving you some good news. Yes, there is a hell that's hot. Yes, that ought to wake us up to our need. But aren't you glad, my friend, when we did not deserve his grace or his mercy, when justice called, mercy answered, thank God. And we that are saved tonight, we should never get over what Jesus Christ did for us on Calvary's cross. We should never get over that. We should never get over the gospel, what he gave. I hear people say all the time, dear sis, well, I found Christ. And I love individuals. I love people. I wouldn't do anything to hurt you, but I do want to tell you the truth tonight. Because the truth will set you free, praise God. But let me correct that. You didn't find God. God wasn't lost. You were the one that was lost. The Bible said he came to seek and to save that which was lost. I wasn't looking for him, praise God. But thank God he knew exactly where I was. And he passed by my way, convicted of me and drove me. And thank God he persuaded me and gave me that faith to step out and accept the Lord Jesus Christ as my personal Savior. I've never been the same. Thank God the Holy Spirit of God that night baptized me. He took me, and that just simply means he placed me into the body of Christ.
Amen.
I might be the ingrown toenail, but I'm still part of the body. Hallelujah.
Amen.
Amen. I'm still part of the body. Jesus is heaven's gift to a lost world. When we say Jesus, we are declaring his sinless life, his substitutionary death. What's that mean? He did that for you and me.
We were separated. The Bible said all have sinned and come short of the glory of God.
Amen.
Brother Daniel, get up here just a second. Brother Brian, come up here a second. All right. You agree with me? The Bible said all have sinned and come short of the glory of God.
Amen.
All right. Me and Brother Daniel and Brother Brian, we're at the Grand Canyon, okay? Line up here. I'm not saying I could outrun either one of these fellas, but I might be able to. You just never know. He said no, so. So let's say Brian can outrun me and say I can outrun Brother Daniel.
That's a stretch, bro.
All right. Brother Daniel takes off running, and he jumps as far as he can. What's the end result?
The bottom.
Yeah. Sorry, Brother Daniel. You didn't make it. You didn't make it. You fell short.
I fall back over.
You fell back over here. Amen. Well, supposedly I'm a little bit faster than Brother Daniel. That's not been confirmed. But I get up there and I run as fast as I can, and I make a leap of that Grand Canyon. Even if I do jump farther, what's the end result?
Same place.
Same thing.
I fell short. The fastest runner here, he takes off, and he leaps, Brother Daniel, further than you did and further than I did. What's the end result? We all fell short.
That's right.
The Bible says all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. What do I want you to see tonight? When somebody, thank you, Brother Brian. Mm-hmm. Praise God, y'all are good.
Amen.
We're going to have a foot race after this. Amen. Here's what I want you to see tonight. Bible says for all our righteousness, for all Dwayne Dillard's righteousness, the best that Dwayne Dillard can offer God is his dirty, filthy laundry in God's sight. I fell short. Come short. How come man always seems to just want to help God out? Why, when I talk to people, the first thing we want to do is go to our works. We've got to get over here and realize all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. Forget about all those works. Forget about baptism. Forget about giving tithes. Forget about membership. Forget about all that stuff. Just know that all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. For all our righteousness is filthy rags. For the wages of sin, the payment of sin, is death. If we pay for our sin debt, we'll pay for it with death and hell. But the gift of God is eternal life through who? Jesus Christ, our Lord. I've had people that believe. They don't believe like we do. They don't believe in the eternal security of the believer. Let me say it like this. It's not if I make it, my friend. It is when I make it. It has nothing to do with me. I was a sinner. I could do nothing. Jesus paid it all, and all to Him I owe. So when I ask you tonight as an individual, are you going to heaven? In your mind, how would you answer that? Have you been used to using, well, I was baptized, right? Listen, that is not the right answer.
Amen.
For you. It's not the right answer for your loved one. It's not the right answer for this community. You know what this community needs, just like our community? It's not more religion. It is more of Jesus. It is more of the way. It is more people coming and going out into the community, my friend, and telling what Jesus did for you. Amen. When you were a sinner, thank God, what he did for you. Because I've had people say it like this. I just can't live it, preacher. You're exactly right. I can't leave it either. God never meant for us to try to live it. You know what he did? He wants us to yield our vessels to him, to allow him to live it through us, praise God. Help us decrease. Help us crucify the flesh. Die to self daily. Let him raise the inner man, praise God. It's all about Jesus Christ. I'm about to thank God on this last night. That's done me pretty good, amen. Amen. Just brag on Jesus a little bit. Amen. Jesus. This thing's not hard. Amen. We've made it hard. We've polluted the gospel. Amen. It's the gospel of grace. Yes. It's not if I make it. I listen to some of them guys on the radio, if I make it. Some of them songs they used to sing, if anyone makes it, surely I will. Let me say tonight, if anyone makes it, surely I would. If it wasn't for the good grace of God, I would still be in the devil's hell today. And you would be too. So that's why when these ladies are singing, I'll throw up my hand and I'll praise you again and again. There's no one that deserves praise besides him. It's a hot, we have nothing that we can offer him. But he desires and he inhabits the praise of his people. The praise of his people. You think about these keys that fit a lock, and I have a whole keychain of keys. But that key will only fit the lock that it's intended for. And let me say it like this, Jesus is the only key to salvation. How many of you believe that we're living in the last days? How many of you believe in the imminent return of Jesus Christ, that any day now he could step out on the clouds of glory? Every time you see Israel in the news, that timepiece over there, it's a ticking. Jesus is coming. Jesus is coming. Jesus is coming. So we don't have time tonight to sit here and argue and fuss over every little detail and minute thing that does not matter. Here's what I'm going to say tonight. What this community needs, they need us as individuals. If you are saved tonight, throw up your hands and praise him again and again. Amen. Offer him a hallelujah. Praise you, the Lord. But you say, preacher, I am saved, but I'm not as high on the mountain as I once was. What about this last night of revival? As an individual, say, you know what? Father, forgive me. I am saved. But God, I want to draw. You said if I draw nigh to you, you'll draw nigh to me. And let me encourage you tonight that his step's a lot bigger than our step.
Amen.
And he loves you tonight. You say, preacher, I'm saved. I remember the night I got saved, or the morning, or the midday. And I remember when that burden was rolled away. And I remember, thank God, that excitement that was down on the inside. I went out and I told people, that's what you're supposed to do. If you believe him in your heart, you'll confess him with your mouth. You'll go tell somebody. This church right here would not hold. I'm not saying everybody you tell is going to come, or Cedar Bluff would not hold, or any of these other churches it's been, if we just simply let Jesus get big in our heart again and let him refresh us and just go back to that. Miss Sherry, where'd you get saved at?
I got saved actually in my bedroom in Fairfax, Virginia, when I was a teenager.
She's got a story to tell. Do you remember when the Lord saved you? You remember laying down? It, I know they say it's not about feeling, but it feels good. Whew, when you're laying there knowing there's a hell hot and Jesus is the only way, and you know if your heart stopped beating that you'd lift your eyes in a devil's hell for all eternity, and then the good grace of God passes by your way and convicts you and draws you, and you realize I don't have to go to hell because Jesus has already paid it all. All to Him I owe. And you accept the finished work at Calvary. The Holy Spirit gets on the inside, and you know what? Thank God you're adopted into the family of God. And you're refreshed. I remember going home at night, pillowing my head. If something bursts in my head, if my heart stops, thank God to be absent from the body is to be present with the Lord. That's a reality, amen. Dear sis, you encourage me. That smile on your face, it makes me want to preach 30 more minutes. Not really, but it does encourage me, amen. I believe that we ought to be the most joyous people in all the world. Amen. Born again believers, saved by the grace of God, we have a story to tell. Amen. Why would the God of heaven love somebody like us? I don't understand. Greater love hath no man than this, than a man lay down his life for his friend. But He loved us that much that He sent Jesus to die for somebody like me and somebody like you. That I believe the church needs to be revived today. That the gospel has that freshness every time we hear it. Amen. He ought to do something for us. Because when He found us, He found us in our sin. He found us in our sin. We were guilty before a holy God. But thank God, amen, He was merciful unto us, a sinner. And because of Jesus, say His name again. Jesus, because of Jesus, I live today. Ye that were dead in trespasses and sin, you hath He quickened. You know what that word quickened means? It means He brought you to life. We were dead spiritually, but thanks be unto God, the light of the glorious gospel shined out in our souls. We saw the light, but thank God I didn't only see it. I accepted it by grace through faith.
Amen.
There was a lady the other day, was there at Easter. She's from the back counties. Her aunt, when I say back counties, toward the coal field. Some of y'all from that area, you know where I'm talking about, and that she'll come over with her aunt to church once or twice a year. I was coming in a little bit early before church, and she was sitting back where this dear lady right here sitting on the edge of the pew, and she said, "Preacher, I need to talk to you." I said, "All right." And she said, "Do you have a Pentecostal background?" I said, "No, ma'am, I don't. But thank God I was raised in some churches that knew what the fire was about." I'm going to tell you something, my friend. Don't you be afraid to worship your God. I'm glad if there's anybody. This is the quietest place we'll ever be. Hell's going to be quiet. It's not going to be quiet. And heaven's not going to be quiet. Thank God. I liked what old Isaiah said. He said them seraphims were flying and covering their face with their wings and their feet. And they were saying, "Holy, holy, holy, holy." Amen. Praise God. But you know what? It's all about God. When He saw it, they flew to Him. He's like, "Woe is me. Woe is me." You see, the rejection of all other ways, the revelation of the only name, lastly, the requirement for every soul. Look what it says there in verse 12, whereby we must be saved. It's where it becomes personal. Peter does not say you might be saved or you could be saved. He said we must be saved. So I'm seeing in this verse a necessity of salvation. Why must we be saved? Because we were sinners. All sin. The wages of sin is death. Without salvation, there's judgment. You see. Without Christ, there's no hope tonight. I was burdened years ago. I remember I wouldn't surrender to preach a week. You listen to this. I wouldn't surrender to preach a week, and a church called me without a pastor. A week. And I went in there, and I was helping them, and I wasn't preaching long, and one of them deacons took me to his, he called a honey hole of his deer hunting stand. I don't know if it's a honey hole or not. It rained, amen. So anyway, when I was walking in, I'll never forget, he said, Brother Dwayne, he said, you ever thought about pastoring? Well, I hadn't been preaching long at all. And I said, no, I never thought about it. He said, I've seen young guys like you take these churches. And I said, if the Lord's in it, brother, if the Lord's in it, it's all about him. It builds it. And anyway, I prayed about it. I helped that church about 4 months. And he come to me one day. He said, you about ready to take this church? I said, no, sir. I said, I'm not your pastor. I said, I'll be glad if that's be the church's will to help this church till you find the pastor. He said, when are you going to know? I said, when the Lord tells me. Amen. When the Lord tells me, you see. But I remember being at that church, and I remember being burdened over the loss outside the church. And you know what God said? He spoke to my heart. He said, you were lost inside the church. And God started burning my heart in my ministry, and I got preaching. The gospel of grace. Same gospel Paul preached. Because here's what I believe. If we explain the Word of God, and people understand the Word of God, they'll understand their lost condition. I don't care if they have religion. I don't care if they've been in church all their life. The God of heaven can come right where you're at and reveal to you. And here's what I beg of you tonight. If God does that, do not put that off. Amen. The message that stirs your heart may not stir, as the pastor said already. We don't come to him on our time frame. We come to him when he draws us Amen. To repentance. I've seen a lot of people saved by just getting a burden and just speaking truth. That word must means it's required, it's necessary, it's urgent. In other words, you cannot delay this. 2 Corinthians 6 and 2, now is the accepted time. Notice the word he says, we. Peter includes himself. It's not just for them out there, it's for all of them. Every man, every woman, every young person. We must be saved. Yesterday's past. Nothing we can do to go back there. Today is the present. It's a gift. Every one of us on the same playing field. It doesn't matter if they're laying in the hospitals tonight. It doesn't matter. We're all, listen, tomorrow is not promised. Now is the accepted time. Today. Valley View Baptist Church. Do you have religion as an individual? Or do you have a relationship? I'll close with this. We were in an old building years ago. I started a prayer room. There's a guy in the church now. He's 90 years old. Boy, he has a burden for souls. If he's still able to go, we'd still be knocking on the door. But we was in that prayer room, and he said, Brother Dwayne, he said, would you go and see one of my friends with me? He said, I've witnessed to him. He liked to hunt raccoons. They had those dogs. They'd run them, and he said, would you go? He said, he's dying of cancer. Would you go with me and see him? I said, you ask him if it's okay. A preacher comes by his house, I'll be happy to go see him. And anyway, we went over there, and I asked him if he knew the Lord. And he gave me an answer that it just did not settle well with me, how he answered me about that. So I just listened to him. And the Lord opened the door that I said, can I open the Bible? Show you a biblical salvation. He said, sure, preacher. And I just took him through, all of sin comes short of the glory of God. For the wages of sin is death. The gift of God is eternal life. But God commendeth his love towards us, and that while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. John 6:44, Jesus speaking, no man can come to me except for the Father which sent me, draw him, and I'll raise him up in the last days. Took him over there, Romans 10:9, 10, and 13. If you believe in your heart, confess with your mouth, God raised him from the dead, thou shalt be saved. For the heart man believeth unto righteousness, with the mouth confession is made unto salvation. For whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. And I didn't more or less get that out, that the guy that had witnessed to him all those years, with tears running down his cheek, he looked him right in the eye, as sure as I'm saying, and he said, "Bill, you're my friend." He said, "If you died right now, based off of that, would heaven be your home?" Tears started running down that elderly fellow's face. Military man. And he kicked that recliner up. He said, "No, preacher, I'm not saved." I said, "Do you want to be saved?" He said, "Oh, yeah." And he accepted the Lord Jesus Christ as his personal Savior. And by Brother Graham's testimony himself, when he was at his worst, right before he died, he gathered his family in there. He'd never done this in his life. He gathered his family in there. And he said, "I'll tell you what I'm going to do before I go." He said, "I'm going to pray." And Graham said that, boy, he cut loose of praying and talking to the Lord. And he said, God showed up in that room. Here's what I'm asking you tonight. Please do not answer me casually tonight. If something happened to you tonight, be honest with yourself and honest with God, because He knows. It doesn't matter if I know, it matters if He knows. It doesn't matter what the pastor thinks, because you know what? When we take our last breath, here's the truth of the matter. Either the blood has been applied or it has not.
Amen.
Just like the Old Testament said, put the blood on the doorposts and the lintels. He said, when I see the blood, He said, I'll pass over you. Sherry, thank you for sharing that. She said that with confidence.
Amen.
Can you say with confidence tonight that you've trusted in nothing but the blood of Jesus? If you can say that tonight, you ought to give God all the glory in the world.
Amen.
That you're saved by the grace of God. But if you're not saved tonight, listen to me. Please, you're among friends tonight. I've sat where you've sat. This dear lady right here come to me and she said, "I remember one of the meetings that you were here." She said, "I accepted Christ as my Savior." Praise God, I remember that. She told me that. I didn't go to her. She told me. She's confessing that with her mouth. Are you ready? Who is He to you? No other name. Let's bow our heads tonight, preacher.
To the end, and something came to my mind, and I wanted to share it with you guys just real quick. God just told me to do it because of this message. And there's two people. Stanley, I don't remember if you were with me, but Derek Benson was, and you might have been there too. And it was Geneva. Geneva's mom had me go see a guy over there off 460. We went. I know Derek was there, and Stanley, I think maybe you were there, but I can't remember. And the guy had cancer, and it was eating a hole in his spine. He's laying in bed. He couldn't walk now. It was fatal. It was going to kill him. And I went over there, and I talked to him and started talking, giving him the gospel message. And I asked him, I said, "Do you want to?" He said, "Do you want to be saved?" And he said, I'm not ready. And man, I just got direct, you know. I said, Mister, I said, you are dying. You are dying. When are you going to get ready? I said, man, you need to see yourself as lost, you know, and get saved. And this is what he said. And I'll never forget this. He said, I can't tell you why I can't get saved. And when he said that, I felt the Holy Spirit just depart out of that room. It was this cold. And I remember I looked at Derek Benson and I said, let's go. I prayed for him. He died 3 weeks. And this goes with the thought that you have to get saved when God is dealing with you. You can't put it off, and I'll do it another day. I mentioned maybe last night or the night before about Harry Kidd. And then my wife had an uncle, Dan Hibbs, Aunt Ole's husband. Ole witnessed to him over the years. He was the fire chief, Warrenton. Had a heart attack. Got him to the hospital. He was conscious. Wait, Ole went in there one more time. He was in there in the emergency room. And she was begging him, get saved. He's laying on that hospital bed with tears streaming down both sides of his face. He said, I can't. He was crying. He said, I can't. God wasn't dealing with him. We think that the last day that we have a chance to get saved is when the Lord comes back or we die, but that's not always the case. There's a day of grace that may end in your lifetime, and while the Lord still hasn't returned, when God gets done dealing with you, where he deals with you and deals with you and deals with you, and you said no for the last time. That's it. And you'll never be able to get saved. You'll never be able to get saved. Think of that. And those two cases right there when Brother Dwayne was talking at the end, they just came to my mind, and I thought, man. Because I know people have sat, not only in this church, for sure, by Harry Kidd's testimony, they've sat in this church and other, probably every church, and said, man, I'm not ready. One more day. Well, maybe next week. I'll do it another time. And another time never comes. Because, boy, when you're under conviction, that's the day. When God's dealing with your heart, that's the day. No guarantee we're going to live another day. Like I mentioned, that young lady that got saved at Brother Les's church on Sunday morning, coming back Sunday night, got killed in a head-on collision. Thank God she didn't put that off. There's not, God's got to be when God deals with us. And man, listen, that's our burden, man. Listen, I'm saved. And I'd like to say it doesn't matter if you don't get saved, you know, but it does matter. It does matter to us. I mean, it's not going to hinder my salvation. It's just going to hurt you. So the gospel is preached for everyone's benefit. The Lord's benefit. Gives him the glory, right? Gives him the glory. So, you know, be sure about this thing. No doubt. No doubt about it. No doubts. Talked with the young lady last night after church. We talked about it. And I used to always tell you all this. I used to say this, but I knew I was wrong, and I corrected myself since then. Satan would never put doubt in your mind about your salvation.
That's right.
Why would he do that? Satan wouldn't put doubt. I used to say, well, yeah, sometimes I know Satan make you doubt. No. Satan, if you're not saved and you think you are, he wants you to keep on thinking that way.
Amen.
He'll not put some doubt in your mind. There's doubt about your salvation. It's coming from God. It's coming from God. So we'll have an invitation. Paul's here. We're going to have an invitation. Man, this is the night to get saved, get things right with God. Why put it off? Why put it on? Huh? You can't live it. You can't live it anyway. You just got to surrender. It's not a work. It's a surrender. Doesn't take any. Hey, it doesn't take any effort to drop your arms and wave the white flag. Get saved.
Thank you, Pastor. Brother Dwayne. Our hymn of invitation tonight will be hymn number 270, Just As I Am. Let's stand together. But that thy blood was shed for me, and that thou bidst me come to the light of God, I just as I am.